Good morning. This is Mike Paskin from Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And speaking of WNYC, I listen to a lot of radio, though not actually on the radio. I listen mostly to podcasts, and the BBC is right up there in my queue. I used to listen to the BBC a few years ago, and I thought of the problems that they fretted over in London and in England as kind of quaint, like pubs open late and knife crimes. Yeah, I'll trade you gun crimes for knife crimes and, you know, schools. But more and more recently, it seems, just from my listening, that the problems of London seem a bit more dire than the city I live in, New York City, which is really a safe place, just to take crime as one example. Then you have immigration. It's never easy absorbing immigrants into a culture. But New York does have a huge head start as far as this quintessential challenge of the 21st century. But it's not just anecdotes. A big new study is out comparing London to New York City, and it finds that in many key areas, New York is doing better than its English counterpart. The study is called London and New York in the 21st Century. New competition and new opportunities. Can London and New York still be the leading World Series in 2100? One of the people who helped with the study is Rosemary Scanlon, an associate professor of economics at the NYU Shack Institute of Real Estate. Hello, Professor Scanlon.
Yes, Rosemary, please.
Okay.
Good morning, Mike.
You got it. And joining us from London is producer of WNYC's The Takeaway. Hello, Nick Sindel.
Hi. Good morning.
So, Nick, your expertise is you're actually from London, so.
That's right. Yeah,
you have standing.
Sorry, say that again?
You have standing to comment.
I do, yes. Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm born and raised in London now.
So, Rosemary, what was the idea of the study itself? Why undertake it?
Well, this study is an update of an original study the team, including Greg Clark, and a team from London and New York worked on it back in 2000, where we did a study comparing the two cities, like the great cities of the millennium, and looked at the economy and the demography and the challenges they faced. And a group of us have kept on a series of dialogues since then. And now in 2008, Greg Clark, the author of this study, went ahead and, you know, did this update. And as we continue having dialogues of specialists between the two cities.
And so what did you find? Well, you looked at several key areas. You want to talk about the areas you looked at?
Sure. But interestingly, when we first did the study in 2000, what we were so amazed by was the similarities between the two cities. First, in their economies, the factors that drive the economies, whether it's finance or professional business services such as advertising or management consultant or media and communications, the arts and tourism, these were all similar in both cities. Also, the factors even in 2000 that were driving the population change. Both cities were experiencing a recovery and growth in population, and it was primarily coming through immigration in both cities. Then the third thing that we noticed was the similarity in the challenges both cities had to face. They had to reinvest in our transportation, particularly in urban mass transit, and to build enough housing. So we felt that there was enough information in the challenges we faced to keep us talking to each other as cities.
And if you, as a listener, have a foot in both worlds and have standing, just like Nick does, to comment on the comparisons between New York and London, give us a call, 646-778-3729. London v. New York, 646-778-3729. As I alluded to in the introduction, Rosemary, it turns out that New York is doing quite well on such things as crime. And this was surprising. Affordability, we don't think of our city as affordable, but why is New York at least more affordable than London?
Well, the primary reason is the difference in the exchange rate between the two cities. It now takes almost $2 to buy £1, and the dollar has declined in the last 2 or 3 years, even further against the pound. So compared to somebody buying real estate in London or buying, you know, food or clothing or other utilities, New York is a bargain. Although for Americans, New York is probably the most expensive city in the country. So everything, of course, is relative along that spectrum. But particularly in the last 2 or 3 years, internationally, we are a bargain, and we can see it on the streets of New York with all of our tourists from London or from Europe.
Nick, obviously the dollar has fallen as compared to the pound and the euro, but what about there in London if you've lived your whole life? Do you see that your dollar, your euro, your unit of currency, whatever you're using now?
It's the pound, yeah.
Yes, the pound. Do you struggle stretching it further?
Yes, I mean, I completely agree with what Rosemary just said. I mean, I was actually in New York myself quite recently, and I found New York incredibly cheap because at the moment the pound is, it's £1 for every dollar, and the prices in New York are numerically what they are in London, except you're getting everything for half price equivalent. And, I mean, just sort of anecdotally, London is an incredibly expensive city to be in. It's everything seems to cost a lot of money, whether it's public transport, going around on the tube, our equivalent of the subway. Over here is, I would say, at least double the price of New York. Coffees, that kind of stuff. It's all similar sort of numbers, except twice the price. And I definitely found that when I was in New York, I mean, I thought New York was an extraordinary city, absolutely fantastic city, but I did find it incredibly cheap, and I don't know whether that's, it's very difficult to say, isn't it, whether that's just relative to the currency, in that the currency exchange suited what I was there for, and I was getting $2 for every pound, or whether actually compared to earnings, perhaps New York is slightly cheaper than London, I don't know.
Yeah, well, what did the study find about that, Rosemary?
Well, I think on the wages, New York also does well, and it does. I think at the very highest levels, wages are higher in New York. So people earn more in salaries than they do in London. I think that's true through some of the middle income ranges too. I had the opportunity, for which I'm very grateful, of living in London for 2.5 years at the end of the 1990s, and so I also had a chance there to compare prices. And even then, I thought some elements in London were much more expensive. I think my apartment was more expensive. My dry cleaning, I calculated, was twice as expensive than in London as in my comparable neighborhood in New York. I thought that computer and peripheral prices in London were higher, but and that adjusted for higher wages in New York, that New Yorkers probably had a higher standard of living overall.
Then again, did you break a leg or get a kidney disease in London?
No.
Because that's medicine's free, of course.
Yes.
Noreen in Floral Park, someone with a foot in both worlds. Hello, Noreen.
Yes, and I can't believe what you just said, but you believe I had urinary tract infections twice in London, and I went there with a newly broken leg also. So I know about their health system, which I found to be phenomenal.
How did we find you, Noreen?
I know, it's incredible. When I heard what you were talking about, I couldn't believe it. I went to graduate school in London for a summer about 12 years ago, finishing up a master's in art ed. I actually got the opportunity to teach in two different kinds of what we call in America public schools. One was Church of England, one was Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. Then a few years later, ended up with a boyfriend who will one day be my husband. I've been commuting back and forth every holiday, really, for about 9 years.
Have you seen a change in that nearly a decade in the comparisons between the two cities? Has one gone up and one gone down?
Interesting. Well, I'm prejudiced in that I'm really, as a New York City school teacher, I'm not thrilled with the mayor we've had for several years. I don't find them to be particularly compassionate person and too much a businessman. New York City, quality of life has gone up, but I think that's because of Giuliani, quite frankly, Mayor Giuliani. London had an interesting mayor, a socialist, his name escapes me, but
Ken Livingston.
Problematic.
Ken Livingston,
yes,
Red Ken,
very
as they call
problematic.
Him.
I'm excited to be going back now and see what this new guy has to say. I believe he was born, Boris Johnson or something, was he born in New York? So that should be interesting to see.
Boris Johnson is the man's name. Thanks for the call, Noreen. Our number again is 646-778-3729. Yeah, and the survey does compare. One of the things that they talk about is city leadership. How did you do a comparison of, I guess Boris Johnson just took over there. So, Rosemary, was it the Bloomberg versus Livingston comparison, or just,
yes,
in fact,
yes,
the structure of leadership?
Yes, I think so. Very, very much so. Well, London has a new government. It just became, had its own city government as of May of 2000. So it's all very new in the general London Assembly. Greater London Assembly is new. New York has a much longer history of its government. And New York's financial situation is much different in the sense that the mayor of New York has its own budget that he controls and generates of about $45 or $50 billion, and London basically does not have its own tax system yet. They get money these days from their congestion pricing, but aside from that, all the money flows down from the central government.
Who got the check mark in terms of city leadership, London or New York?
Well, I think on the basis, I think it was, you know, a lot of the leadership qualities are qualitative, so maybe a little bit more difficult to measure. And both cities had, through this period of time, have had strong leaders. Certainly Mayor Bloomberg, whom I think has been an excellent mayor for New York City, and Ken Livingstone, who was the first mayor for London, and I think took a much stronger stand on supporting the business community and on thinking about the future planning decisions for London than anybody might have guessed from the beginning. So has left a very interesting legacy for the new mayor there. But I think the big difference is still on the governance or the leadership of both cities is the difference in the amount of revenue and tax base that New York commands.
And Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, the mayor of London, a position itself that's relatively new, has been compared, at least in the American press, to pretty much a glorified transportation secretary. Is that the buses are the major thing that he could control?
I think there's probably some fairness in that, actually. Yeah, I mean, one of Ken Livingstone, who's the previous mayor, one of the sort of big moves that he made, and I suppose this will be one of the things that he'll be remembered for, is the introduction of the very controversial congestion charge, so that within the centre of London there's a kind of a circle into which if you want to drive in, you have to pay, and at the moment it's about $16 just to go in to the centre, and that's proved to be a very controversial move, and that is it's that sort of area of public transport. I mean, the mayor does have powers in other areas, but it's really transport, I think, that particularly Ken Livingstone made his mark. They certainly don't have the power to raise a sort of a tax within London, so I think if you were comparing mayor to mayor, I think the New York mayor would certainly have a far greater spending power, budgetary power, these kind of things.
Nick, I'm interested in the fact that New York, you're less likely to be mugged. It is a safer city. Yes, there are difference in the sheer number of murders, but you're less likely to be a victim of a crime in New York. What about the perception? When you went to New York, did that perception still persist where people said, oh, you're going to New York, it's much more dangerous than London?
That's really interesting. I mean, I personally found New York very safe, and I was sort of wandering around strange hours of the day, and I found it very safe and very, very sort of friendly. I mean, I did.
And in London, what do you think about those same hours of the day where you wander around?
Well, I mean, I think the difficulty is it's always sort of location, isn't it? So that if you go to quite a rough part of London in the middle of the night, you know, you might well encounter some trouble. And there's certainly been a sort of a spate of knife crimes over here quite recently, and even some shootings and some problems with gangs and things like that. But I always think that crime is a very difficult thing to be in any way objective about, because if something bad happens, then that's going to colour your perception in perhaps a disproportionate way. And there's certainly a sense in which people's perception of crime here in London is somehow greater than the police figures, for example, show, that actually crime has been sort of falling in London and in the UK, and yet people seem to be more worried about it. And I think it's very difficult to say, but I mean, I think my sense was definitely that New York was a perfectly safe place to go. But then I was always in Manhattan, and I didn't venture perhaps into some of the rougher parts. So difficult to say that one, I think.
Well, on the issue of crime, Gary from Manhattan, but is that where you're from originally, Gary?
Yes. No, I'm a Brit. I'm a Londoner. So I've been here since '96.
So tell me, what's your perception of the crime in both cities?
Well, I now travel to Europe a lot for my job, and so I'm there quite a lot. So I really have noticed it's that thing of the perception of the feeling of safety. So when I'm there, it's more like the New York of the 70s, that feel in the air for me. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody feels like that, but there's that sort of tension in the air that when I was in New York many, many years ago, the sort of bad years, so to speak, of the muggings and things like that in New York, there was that tension in the air. So that's what I notice a lot. I don't think, it's not better, it's different. You know, that's always the thing. And it is very, very expensive. And when I hear people over here, you know, I realize that gas prices has affected the economy a lot. But gas prices in London is, you know, it's almost $10 a gallon.
Right.
The comparison. But
smaller cars are more reliant on mass transportation.
Yes, and I find that people don't, I mean, if I'm talking about the Manhattan way of life, I find my friends there, they don't go out as much as I do. That feeling that when I'm here, you know, you can going out for a meal, that they sort of have to, it's more stay home, and which is obviously could be a better thing for a culture. But that side of things, I'm more sort of, oh, let's go out for lunch and that type of thing. And I think people feel on a, you know, the middle range earnings type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think New York, you know, from my point of view, when I hear New Yorkers then complain about New York, I think New York works wonderfully as a city. When you think of what goes on in New York 24 hours a day, I mean, after the London subway system closes at 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know, you can get anywhere, and of course, getting around in New York is really very cheap compared to most European cities.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gary. And of course, another difference is if he was calling from London, that siren in the background would be more of a type of noise. Ellie Beth from Mamaroneck, you're going to talk about, I think, another aspect of the study, culture.
Yes, I have a foot in both camps. I'm a Brit who's lived in the U.S. for 6 years, but lived in London for 30 years, and I go back about six times a year. And I think, like Gary said, that they're different and better in different ways. London has a fantastic explosion of culture going on. There seem to be new museums, new concert halls, new festivals, new things happening all the time. And while New York has a huge amount to offer culturally, it doesn't seem to have that same energy going on for it. There are lots of other comparisons. Yes, if you want discount shopping, Filene's basement cannot be beat.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of utilities, we pay here monthly bills. In the UK, you pay quarterly bills. I'm not sure there's much difference when it comes to the money. I mean, there are all kinds of comparisons. Yes, there's more sense of violence on the streets in the UK now. There's a kind of thuggery and fright about the younger generation that's a new thing that's developed since I left the country. But in other ways, the UK seems still a much safer society to me than US one. It's more integrated. The US seems to me very ghettoized. I think that, you know, there are some areas you simply can't compare the countries.
Thank you very much for the call, Ellie Beth. And yeah, that is the impression that I get just monitoring BBC shows. They talk about the national culture of politeness. It doesn't seem like a conversation that we'd be having in the United States, where people talk about, you know, being polite with your own families and teaching your own family values. But Rosemary, I want to talk about the cultural issue, the comparison between London and New York. I know New York had better fashion. New York had better restaurants. London did better in terms of theater. Is that right?
Well, possibly. And, of course, in New York, we've enjoyed the benefits of London theater productions coming over to Broadway.
Yes, and also the scourge of Mamma Mia, we should add. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. But New York, I've studied the economics of culture in New York City, and it's, you know, this is a giant industry. If you look at not just Broadway, but also film production and the great museums of New York, as well as visitors who come to New York. So, and that's a $21 billion industry here in the city. And so I think on broad base, New York probably would top London if we had an exact comparison out of London, even though the theater in London is very rich and
yes,
and vibrant. So, I think the two cities and their draw on culture and on tourism, people who come in for the culture and the arts, would probably be comparable.
Yes, the A-list theater, certainly, perhaps. London has the edge, although Kevin Spacey does head the Old Vic. But in New York, you have the Fringe Festival, and you have all sorts of off-Broadway shows. And, you know, a struggling actor and actress can get a job waiting tables, but in London, they don't tip. Here's the last question. Rosemary, the subtitle of the study was, New Competition and New Opportunity. Can London and New York still be leading world cities in 2100? You must have concluded, yes, they can.
Well, what we've concluded is that both cities need to pay attention to the challenges ahead, whether it's reinvesting in the transportation infrastructure or building new systems for this larger population. Both cities are older. whether it's dealing with competition from the rising new cities of the East, whether it's Shanghai or Beijing, we're all paying attention to these days, or Seoul or Mumbai in India or Singapore, Hong Kong, still a very vibrant city and a financial center, emerging cities such as Sydney, Australia, or even looking at the Middle East, Dubai, thinking about Paris, thinking about Tokyo, looking, you know, within our own continent or Western Hemisphere, North and South, whether it's Toronto or Vancouver or Buenos Aires or Santiago, etc. So to really understand what it is the two cities need to do, both in terms of investing in infrastructure, investing in education, providing enough housing. Both cities have a similar challenge on making sure there's enough housing so that middle class and lower middle class and, you know, young professionals get in, can get a foothold.
All right. Rosemary Scanlon, professor of economics at NYU, thank you. And Nick Sindel, a London producer for The Takeaway, our man in London for this conversation. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.